percussionist Brent Lewis with a little nifty tune called Doom Taka Doom. It comes from his 1990 CD, Earth Tribe Rhythms. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrieve's Lead, and you might know by now the House did its thing today by a margin of 232 to 196. They okayed the inquiry into the impeachment of Donald Trump to take it a step further, and that's where the action really is. People were concerned, thinking that that was the impeachment process in and of itself. No. You may recall that certain charges were levied against him, and that process required some evidence, but it was not really the trial. It was just to establish that there was enough meat on the bones to pursue charges against Donald Trump. And that happened this morning with a vote of 232 to 196. Well, we'll talk about it from several aspects. One thing is, I thought it would have been higher, the 232 part. I thought it might have been a little bit higher. So I'm asking, what do you think happened there? You know, a win is a win, so they'll take it. They got a win. They made their presentations. They summarized the charges that each individual felt should have been brought against him. And that happens in the next phase. I don't understand the unnecessary complications, but this is the way it's set up. So that's the way it's going to be. But from your perspective, what is the significance of this vote taken today that gives legitimacy, official legitimacy, to a further inquiry to really solidify the causes of action in the inquiry against Donald Trump? Now that is the next phase that's coming up. But it's good to say that they came under heavy fire because people didn't understand the process, and that is because they didn't explain it properly. So that a lot of people, including, obviously, some of the members of Congress themselves, who were whining and, you know, really kicking up some dust about, you know, they didn't get a chance to present the evidence and all of that stuff. Well, that's the next phase. Next phase is evidence. The House does not get to try the president. That is a matter that the Senate does. It handles that part. What the House was doing was assembling what they believed to be solid causes of action, solid reasons to consider impeachment of the president. And it's just like a court, you know, the Senate acts, you know, like the judge in a case. They now go back to these charges and they examine and re-examine the supporting evidence, and they're the ones in the Senate who actually would try a president who is being impeached. So the House did its part, even though it came under heavy fire. And again, I talked about the role of Nancy Pelosi. She has to account for unnecessary delays in a lot of things that the Democrats, I should say, in the party should have tackled a long time ago. We're literally on the cusp of a new presidential election, which means 4 years would have passed. And we have so much unfinished business that it is only because the people insisted that this matter be taken care of. This is something very important to them. Because you may recall, she basically resisted any idea of impeaching a president or taking any kind of legal action against the president. She talked about the fact of how divisive it was going to be to undertake such a thing. And she resisted, not just about impeachment, but a number of other initiatives that the Democrats as a party should have been on top of. But they just sat by twiddling their thumbs because Queen Nancy did not give her permission. And we will see in due course the reaction of voters to delaying, or in some cases totally canceling, fights with the Republican Party. They would just stand down until the time is right. But the time is never right. We have so many things that are out of whack that should have been challenged in courts of law. So many things that could have been put on the table already, but weren't because Nancy Pelosi did not allow it. And, I mean, that has to be questioned. Sure, you are the leader of the party, but you're not the despot of the party. You're not the only person in the party with an opinion and with a desire to take on this administration. So a lot of things just simply slipped by because the Democrats were not given, quote, permission, unquote, to engage this administration on these matters. So, okay, we have a vote this morning. It's decent considering the pummeling that Democrats took on this matter of impeachment. This is not a casual matter. This is a very serious matter. And they came under blistering attack. And even so, they managed to scrape up 232 votes, and that included some legislators who switched sides. Some Republicans came on board. And this is now beginning to scare the Republican organization. They are now worried. If this could happen at this time under all of these conditions, these negatives, that should have squashed the whole thought of impeachment, could you imagine what, if it kept going that way, what would happen when it is their turn to manage the charges against the president? So it's going to be chaotic. But from your vantage point, what do you get out of this vote? 232 to 196 under all of these adverse conditions with the Republicans hell-bent on preventing impeachment by the Democrats of President Trump. 888-874-4888. What do you make of it? What is the significance of this vote today? Where is it all going? And what do you think the outcome eventually will be? Will there be, in fact, an impeachment, the way things are going. What are your reasons for predicting either way? But please share with us what you think the symbolism of this vote today is. What are we to understand about this vote this morning, or earlier this morning, I should say, that finally something that people have been predicting, it will never happen. In fact, it did. It has happened. And now what? Because the next step is a direct lead into the presidential election. And by the way, many of the Democratic presidential candidates are having a very rough time. They're not looking good. Candidates' campaigns are falling apart or appear to be falling apart. They're not on solid footing. It is not a done deal that they are candidates and they qualify to enter into the bona fide presidential race. So this morning's activities will directly affect the outcome on that front. 888-874-4888. Let's hear from you. You're kind of slow there. You're taking Biden's pills. Biden is having a little problem. He's being noticed now. If you listen closely, he's beginning to worry people. He's slowing down, visibly slowing down. He's kind of hemorrhaging on cash, so he has to raise some more cash quickly to keep his campaign afloat. And yet he's got other legal matters to worry about, his son being primary among them. And then the Republicans are not easing up at all. They are, in fact, coming on even stronger against him. Ephraim Edgewater, what is this vote this morning supposed to convey? What do you get out of it?
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
How are you today?
Okay, thank you. I hope you're all right, too.
Yeah, we're all hanging in. I just wonder, where do you get this information from?
Well, I read the papers. I listen to the radio.
Like CBS, NBC, ABC?
I listen to whatever makes sense.
But that's the side that wants us to believe what's going on is real, and it's not. It's just a circus, like watching a movie. Like Mahat said, she said it 3 years ago, then she said it last week, but she keeps going back to the ABC, NBC. You know.
But here's the thing: we have to do. We have to reconcile with certain aspects of reality. Whatever it is we thought years ago. This is the here and now. So how is the here and now affecting you? We had a vote this morning. It was widely believed that it would not happen this way, but it came out surprisingly to a 232-196 vote, which opens the door for this pursuit of impeachment to go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's just a stage play going on, that there's no intention of impeaching a person, that they took 15 years to get him to be the way they want him to be this patsy president, so-called president of the United States. The world has become a little tiny speck, and everything. Russia is not a communist country. It's a capitalist country just like us.
But
why?
You're going off on a tangent. I'm wanting you to deal with the question, the reality right now. for you and for me. Right now, the reality is there is a vote. And this vote enables the next step to happen, which is the case comes to the Senate. This is where the trial occurs.
Right.
What is your reaction? Despite the fact, I appreciate you, the fact that you think that this is a carnival, this is a show, and all of that. We get that. But what is the significance of it? You haven't told us.
Well, I could play along with it and just go along day by day with what they're telling us. And it's a whole year before the election for the next election, right, for the presidency election.
So they have
to use up time somehow. So instead of dealing with important issues of what's going on in this country, of people starving, people living out on the street, they're playing this stupid game that they want us to believe that Donald Trump's insane and we have to impeach him because he's doing all these crazy things. They want him to do that to keep us all afraid and in fear. So this goes along with the next chapter, which is try to impeach Donald Trump. You know, Nancy Pelosi stalled for like 6 months. That took up 6 months of our time that we could have spent trying to help people. Instead, we're concentrating on Donald Trump. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump.
Well, of course, what are you going to do? This is the issue. I mean, no matter what we think, this is a very important issue.
It's only important to make it important.
The president was accused of doing some very unorthodox and illegal things that are against the Constitution. They found reason to charge him with certain crimes, which will now be tested in a court of law in the Senate. Well, actually, not in court of law, but in the Senate.
Yeah, but
so
that's
we
normal.
Can't just. We, what I'm trying
court.
To say is, we just can't swipe at it and say, "Oh, this is yet another." It is not enough simply to lump everything together and just say, "Ah, oh, this is just." You know, a play. This is a bad play. And
that's why I cut to the chase and told you that Donald Trump will be president again for 4 more years. And Joe Biden will win the primary. And Bernie Sanders will run against him as an independent. And he will lose to Biden.
But that's not the question I'm asking. That's not the question I'm asking.
I know what you're asking. Your
analysis of this morning's vote. That's what I'm asking.
Okay, let me go back. Let me cancel the way I'm thinking, and I'll go to a way to think while we're sitting eating our ice cream watching Channel 4 News. I think it's a great thing that they're finally get to this president, this maniac, crazy, racist Donald Trump, and we're going to impeach him, and hopefully when the vote gets to the Senate, the people in the Senate will all go along with it, and then we'll finally be rid of this Donald Trump, and then we can have Hillary Clinton instead. That'll be great, won't it?
Okay. I appreciate your cynicism, but it still doesn't answer the question. It's not answering the question. When I ask a question like, what is the significance of it? What I'm expecting is for you to put it in proper perspective. Whether I agree or don't agree is immaterial. It has nothing to do with your ability to place an event in proper perspective. All I want is the proper perspective for what happened this morning, which is the vote is in. We have sufficient legal reason now to move to the next step, and we'll see what the Democrats are able to do at that level. But the idea is to encourage, just to express and to train yourself to say, well, now what could this possibly mean? What does it say about where we are in the scheme of things? I'm looking for an analytical view today. But thanks for getting us started, E. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
874-4888. Desiree from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Hi. Hello. Hi, you trees.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was listening and want to just call in briefly and say that this news today, although it's makes me feel, I was a bit surprised to have heard it, that this was going to happen, because I didn't believe, like so many of us thought, that it wouldn't happen, but it did happen. But it leaves me wondering how others are perceiving this news as well. And I wonder if it's more like we're being placated. Like, yes, there's something wrong. This person's been doing these things and saying this stuff, and that's just not right. And everything has a comeuppance. And see, this even Donald Trump is getting his comeuppance. And I wonder if this is a feeling that I get in hearing this news, and we all hear this. I wonder if it's supposed to instill in us almost a kind of like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you see, maybe things are messed up here in this country, but it's not so messed up because, you see, we can all still have faith in this system. You see?
Yes, and it's working.
And it's working. And, that's just something that came up for me in this. That's all I want to say. I'm sure others have a lot more to add to it. But, yes, it's good to call in, and I'm going to keep listening and learning. It's so good to hear you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for calling in and contributing.
Okay.
All righty. 888-874-4888. It is telling us something. What is that something? Could you figure it out? Now, E thinks all the way on the other side. He says this is a sham. He has no confidence. This is just a veneer, and we're all part of the production. But I wonder if we are being unnecessarily, pessimistic. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to you, Utrees, and the beloved family.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm somewhat encouraged after hearing Ralph Nader say that he had ran into Nancy Pelosi the other day, and she used one of his points that he was outlining, because he's very aware that you just can't make this a narrow focus about, the big scandal utilizing Ukraine for your own personal interests. Of course, a lot of us was wondering, well, what took so long to get to impeachment? Because Ralph had made sure that he let her know that that she will lose her base if she doesn't deal with the whole panorama of what's happened to people of color, the incitement of violence, the foul mouth putting the presidency in disrepute, and on the point that she made twice as I listened, I was listening to the hearings on NPR, is that this guy has said, had repeatedly said, that under Article 2, I could do anything I want. Okay,
right.
So it sounds like she's hearing other than, what was in her head before.
Okay. What what I was hoping we would get close to is that when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she should be saying 400 rosaries tonight because she has been redeemed and doesn't quite deserve it. It is not something she worked at in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because the party, at the time that they wanted and needed the party to stick together and to bring others in with them in order to get this vote, the work that was required wasn't actually involving their energy, which is to bring the party together. Now, it's good to say, well, we had a 232 to 196 vote, but that's still more than the Republicans should have been able to get. If you really look at it from the political sense, the Democratic Party basically got through this by the skin of its teeth. It did not function for a long time as a party.
Mm.
You see, so we did have unanimity on a lot of things that we should have had unanimity by the Democrats on, and this thing would have been a lot more impressive. We get a lot more people voting because Nancy Pelosi would have shepherded the vote. I'm not saying that she didn't, but I'm saying the party was in a fractious state.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it was unhealthy for all that time that was lost because the liberal end couldn't agree with the leftist end and couldn't agree with the middle. And we had all this confusion going on in the party as to what exactly is in the mind of the leader. So all
that time
was wasted.
And one of the things that I look at is where is the prescience of the party, because it shouldn't even have gotten to the point where I mean this guy just is so dangerous. They should have seen this coming. If you follow what I'm saying, I mean, I heard somebody say, well, okay, you have somebody that's being targeted for littering, but their real crime is actually murder, you know. So this, to me, it should have been more prescience or prescience involved with the Democratic Party.
Okay, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm saying this is how you look at things. Okay, right now the result, everybody is kind of happy that, you know, at the bottom line showing of 232 to 196, Democrats basically get what they want and you move on. But no, we have to look at what those numbers mean. And we have to look at the relationship of those numbers. Could they have been better? And if so, how could they have been better? What is the role of Nancy Pelosi? I'm contending that Nancy Pelosi retarded political action for a long time in the party. And it couldn't have happened at a worse time because Trump was building his base.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party seemed to have receded into the shadows, and whatever was going on was taking care of itself. We didn't see a shepherd out there. We didn't see, you know, the booster club out there until pretty late in the game. This should have been a shutout, and it wasn't. I'm glad that it's still, the results still allow the process to go to the next level, but for us, we have to ask the questions. We have to ask the questions.
Indeed.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
And like my heart says, my beloved parents, family, I just want to say I agree with E, 100%. Okay, it's exactly on point. Well, the question you asked was what does that vote mean? People like myself and you yourself, because you've said that you don't even bother with voting. And, you know, I think the people who haven't reached that stage yet of understanding, they're just trying to draw them into this thing. Again, that's all. Because, you know, it is, first of all, it is one party. We all know that. I mean, most of us know that. And it's just a game, just like he says. So, and I have no interest in it. The only time I know anything about it is when it comes on to when you deal with that issue, because I don't even have a TV. So, you know, I don't pay any attention to this. This is none of our business, in my judgment, you know, because what they do, they're going to do what they have to do, what's best for them. Leaving us alone and doing nothing to help us, and nothing to benefit. Excuse me, nothing to benefit us. So, you know, it's just a waste of time in my judgment, as far as paying any attention to what they're doing, because we know what they're working for themselves, and they're bossing.
It's becoming embarrassingly evident that there's a cleavage. And that's what I was talking about. You get a sense that the party has some distance between it and the people it's supposed to be championing. When I look at this number, how could they possibly, if the Democratic Party were doing its work, how could it be that you had 196 Republicans succeeding in casting a no vote? How is that possible if the Democratic Party is on top of things? Yes, it got 232, but maybe the number should be more like 350.
Exactly.
So that's what I mean by we study these things and figure out what do these numbers mean? What are they telling us? Thanks, Willie, for calling in.
Okay.
Thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. You know, I have been thinking about this particular situation. And to me, when you look at this, to me, this is a situation where those in power are taking attention away from what the people really need. To me, Nancy Pelosi, she works for the ruling class that runs the country. And taking this action to impeach Trump is interesting, but the likelihood of he's finally removed, to me, is unlikely. At the same time, this uniparty keeps imperialism going all over the world, intimidating smaller countries. The people who live in this country have all kinds of social, economic needs that should be addressed, and first and foremost, and they're not being addressed. They're putting this out in front to get everybody's attention on this, and ignoring the fact that this so-called impeachment is not going to come to the final removal. So, you know,
you share the view of E from Edgewater in that sense.
I agree with E. The point is that it is a tension getter, but things are designed by those sociopaths and psychopaths that infest the Congress to say the same in the interest of those who rule at the very top and fool the people over and over again. So this is a tactic that is very successful because the people are at the point where they don't understand what's going on, and we can keep putting their attention on stuff that is not going anywhere and maintaining the same situation, the same system in charge of everything, and the imperialism that goes along with it as the people suffer socially, economically, and they've already suffered politically, which goes along with the economics. So I don't pay much attention to this, and I think that I'm very disappointed that the first and foremost thing that should be going on with the Congress and the people, if they really represented the represent the people who live here, would be much different than worrying about Donald Trump. You can get rid of Donald Trump, and things still remain the same.
Same, absolutely. Thank you, David, for your call today. You see, when you look at it in a different way, you see the need for asking questions and getting answers. If the Democratic Party were functioning at peak, the question would be, how would the Democratic Party have an opposition of 196 votes? That is a very serious question. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, and the party is functioning the way it ought to function, this should be a slam dunk. But you let 196 votes get away from you in Congress. So somebody has to ask some questions. What is going on with the Democratic Party that it loses 196 votes that could well have been theirs? I'm glad that, you know, they pulled through with their 232 votes. But there was a time that would not happen. This would have been a total shutout, because the party would have been clear about what it's supposed to do and would have gone ahead and done it. But you're not getting clear signals from the leadership. The party is fractious, and you have some who really are terrified of Donald Trump, because the leadership of the party is not dissipating the fear. If you had a leader that was a fierce and ferocious leader, there could never be a situation where 100, almost 200 of the votes would slip through your fingers from your own party. That's how you interpret numbers. It means something is wrong with the leadership. Something is ineffective with the leadership. And look what you had to work with. You have a very distasteful president who inspires hate, which the Democratic Party is supposed to be against. So it means you lost the anti-hate vote in your own party. It's time to do an audit. What is going on with this party? Because the leader of the party, the Speaker of the House, is supposed to be a very seasoned, experienced person. There is no way that it is satisfactory that 196 people floated away from party leadership. That's the question. And that's how you look at these numbers. The numbers are telling you something. But we are encouraged, because it's the American way, you only consider who the winner is, who got the win. But that losing number is really the thing you need to analyze and understand. What accounts for such a large number of people parting ways with the party in a vote? You see what I'm saying? Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah, good day to you, Therese.
Hello, Lincoln. How are you?
Yeah, I'm persevering as usual through the aridities. That losing number is reassuring. And it is reassuring to say that this is not a monolith, and everybody is not duped. And it's that losing number is saying that it is attesting to the fact that this is more so related to a coup than a real impeachment. That losing number is saying that you're grabbing at straws to impeach this person really as a pretext for a coup. And I think you should compare this with what happened to that vote with Ilhan Omar, when they were voting about Turkey and the Armenian genocide. And Ilhan Omar, she and 11 Republicans and one Democrat, all she voted present, and she did not vote to condemn Turkey. And when they asked her why, she said, because you are not doing this genuinely, but rather you're doing this as a political ploy. And so those who are objecting, those 196 people, I suspect that many of them are saying, we are not going for this political ploy. We're not going for what the FBI is, and especially that Lisa Page and Stokes, those two people from the FBI, are orchestrating. And also Schiff, who everything he's doing is done in secret. No one knows about, you know,
To give him his props, he hasn't done anything outside of the norm of how these things go. Of course, you're going to have some of these meetings in closed session. People are not supposed to hear what is being shared in closed session. They're not members of a committee. This is a committee thing. You're a member of one of the three committees, whether intelligence or oversight or foreign affairs, come on in. We're talking business. People who have no reason to be in the room should not be in the room. So I listen to the arguments of people getting very insulted about, because they don't understand the process. And that too I lay at the feet of the leadership of the party. These things have to be explained. Now comes the point, as the case goes to the Senate, where the trial actually starts. This is where you have an open session. people can hear what's going on. They can see what's going on. But in the preparation stage, they're sharing very private information and sensitive information. And the members of the committee are entitled to be there as they're discussing business. I don't understand why people went into a tizzy. It's because they didn't understand the process.
I disagree with you. This is
okay.
All this is a cabal, and this is a lot of political intrigue occurring, and we are all playing along with this like the it's just like when remember when the TPP was being thrown around. And Obama said to the people, he said, trust us. And they said, rather than telling the people what was in the TPP, they said, no, trust us, trust us. We didn't put them in there for that. No. They're supposed to let us see what. This is not a card game.
No, but you can't make up the rules. There are rules that have been on the books for more than 100 years of how a committee or how an inquiry is to be run. They can't, they simply shouldn't either allow any and everybody in. This is not for the people, not yet. When the time comes to present articles of impeachment, it's public. But give the people a break. They're trying to do their job.
Well, I have a question for you, and it's this. Why would you suggest that there is something wrong with the leadership because they were not able to muster more people to
Because that's the way leadership is measured. That's one of the indicators of effective leadership. If you're a president, there are certain markers that are used as a basis for comparison on any number of categories. If you are a president, but the economic outlook is exceedingly poor, what do you think, as it is now?
I would like to make this comparison.
The economy is falling. That is a direct reflection in the world of business. They watch what the president says. They look, if the president says the wrong thing, that S&P will dip precipitously. So don't come for me. That's exactly what in every field, there are standards by which your performance is measured and people interpret your effectiveness based on that.
You see, the 196, to me, it's similar to like a court case, a court in a trial. And there's one juror who said, you know what, this person did not commit the crime. And then all the other jurors are saying, come on, vote with us. And this one juror holds out. And he said, no, I don't believe this person is guilty.
There are purposes for that. But when you come to the point of, listen to the numbers, 232 to 196. That's a lot of votes to miss. You won.
It's an indication of a lot of independent thinking. That's what that is. It's an indication that everybody is not saying
you don't know what it
is.
You haven't asked anybody what it is. You're just conjecturing. You don't know.
No, it's not conjecturing. No, but because it's like you're saying, like, if the vote is supposed to be 300 and something. No, that's wrong. No, because
it's
an indication.
That is how you love to argue. I think this is what.
No, this is not about argument. This is about.
It is in every field of endeavor, there are markers by which performance and achievement are measured. And people who pay attention to numbers understand what the numbers are suggesting.
The numbers are suggesting that people are thinking and people are not just going along to go along. That's what the numbers are suggesting.
If you want to look at it that way, I chose to interpret it as the numbers reflecting a couple of...
And that's the pivotal...
The party is not together.
The pivotal phrase is you chose to interpret. Listen to what you said.
I'm sorry?
You said you chose to interpret it in a particular way.
Yes, this is how I interpret it.
That's subjective. You chose to interpret it.
It has to be subjective.
No. We should be, when we're trying to get justice, we should be seeking for objectivity. We should not try to be subjective.
All right. Lincoln, here's the thing. I'm telling you this point blank.
Yeah.
When I undertake to understand something, I am being as subjective as I could possibly get. There's no need for objectivity. The numbers are objective, like you do
in mathematics. You can't be subjective in mathematics.
You have a whole different terrain. And I've got to say goodbye because we're out of time. Thank you all for listening and for contributing. And we'll see each other tomorrow, Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.